May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 105. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Hymn 105.
Thank you. let's read together for our instruction from the first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 2. The first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, we come once more to seek thy face, the desire of thee, those mercies of which, O Lord, we do not deserve the least favour, and yet without thy sweet mercy we could not live here, for sin soon would reduce us to utter despair. Thy mercy, O Lord, we therefore plead and crave that thou wilt be very merciful to us and grant to us all that we need in our worship. Thy gracious Spirit and the witness of thy Spirit with our spirit, to grant us, Lord, the unfolding of thy word, that we may come to an understanding of it. Thy grace, Lord, to be given in prayer, that we may pray according to thy sovereign will and good pleasure. Lord, we do pray that we may ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do help us, therefore, to lay hold upon the precious promises that are given in thy words, to plead them and to plead them again and again. We pray that thou wilt mercifully help in ministering the word. Lord, at best thy servants are earthen vessels, and they feel it to be so. Oh, may the treasure be blessedly found within, and that though we may with broken voice or cry, yet there be the breaking out of that which is good to be considered, and that the light of truth may shine, and that we may know that we are overcomers through him who hath loved us. Of those things that so often beset us, those things that would overcome us, but may we be steadfast in all matters. Keep us, Lord, in thy fear. Deliver us out of temptation, and help us to depend only upon thee. In leaning, move along. We pray that thy blessing, Lord, may be upon this people. Thou knowest them in all their particular needs. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant to them according to their united desire. Where there is division, Lord, heal it. Where there is that opposition, then put down that which only brings contempt and grief and sorrow. Lord, we do pray that they may know much of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We pray for young and we pray for old. and those that bear the burden and heat of each day, and I carry the troubles and concerns of their family lives. And also, Lord, we pray for those that bear office, that much help and wisdom may be given to them, and that they may be given a spirit of discernment, and may live together in the harmony of love and humility. We do, Lord, pray that Thou wilt grant Thy blessing upon any absent friends. And, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless them. If any are laid aside, grant Thy healing hand. And we would remember those that may be detained because of parental responsibilities. We would also desire, Lord, to pray for those who may have joined the people here on this occasion, and may they feel that in coming it has not been without profit. Those, Lord, that may be with us this night from neighbouring causes, we would commend to Thee. We would remember, O Lord, all Thy people scattered abroad here and there. We live indeed in solemn days, and it seems that Zion languisheth, but Thou art still the same. We pray, Lord, that there may be that peace in our times, that we may know that tranquility, and be able to gather without hindrance. But we tremble and fear, because the days indeed are such that would decry Thy word, and would desecrate Thy holy day, and days wherein men seek to follow their own lusts, the lusts of the flesh, to extend to those undesirable things. O Lord, what was once condemned, we find is now condoned. How we have slipped. But Lord, we pray that we may still seek for Thy gracious mercy to be upon Thy people, that they may be kept from the spirit that is in the world, and be kept from those things which are not expedient. Lord, how we may go with things that are said to be lawful, not always realizing the implications, and how that we can soon get swept off our feet and carried away. But oh, if Thou dost preserve us and keep us to those things that are expedient for us, then may we not hope that we shall be found still in the way of truth and of righteousness, and be kept in it. We do pray that there will be mindful of our nation, our leaders, that they may be given wisdom. They seem much bereft of it, and those that may seek to push forward what they are desiring, rather than to consider the voice of the people, or to consider what is best for our nation. Oh, we do pray that there would appear We pray for our sovereign Queen once more, that there would be with her in her increasing age. And Lord, may she still be maintained to us if it could please thee. Thou knowest how we fear what may come after she has gone or descended from the throne. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst still hear thy people, their cries, and appear for us. Now, Lord, we see that the labourers are few. We desire that thou wouldst send forth more labourers into the vineyard, and also gather in thy dead elect. Oh, that we may see a little increase amongst the churches, and that a building up. For unless there is that increase, then surely we must see the varying places wilt and die, and no longer be able to sustain a congregation, but the doors shut. O Lord, we pray that thou would therefore yet grant the maintaining of those that fear thy name, and that they may still know the privileges and blessings of being able to gather together. Now do pardon us, we pray, of every sin. Send help from the sanctuary. Be all that we need in all things. Pardon us of every sin. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1055. Come, ye souls by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, through the cross behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. Hymn 1055.
Amen.
So, Lord, may be pleased to help me, or direct your attention to the first epistle of Peter, the second chapter, and read in the first clause of verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 2, and the first clause of verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Newborn babes, as the apostle speaks unto, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby, are brought to experience in the course of their days the preciousness of Christ. And if we are brought to know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter was, and how he was able to answer that question, whom say ye that I am? Oh, to know Christ is to know him as the incarnate Son of God, the one who came down, the one who has accomplished all things for a poor, needy soul. Therefore, if we are brought to know the need of our soul, we will not be satisfied with the things that this world can give. If we have been brought to know that we stand condemned before a holy law, and know that there is no hope to be found for a sinner there at Sinai, all its loud thunders only condemn, then where shall we look but unto one who fulfills all that Sinai demanded, one who is able to satisfy or appease holy justice. For God cannot look upon sin, he must punish it. We stand therefore as sinners worthy of that punishment. But if one should come and stand in our place to be a substitute, how precious must that ram have been to Isaac when Abraham, his father, should take it from the bush, the thicket, the thorns, there that held it, to take it and lay it upon the altar in his place. What a blessing that life was preserved. And yet Abraham also by faith viewed the receiving of his son from off that altar as one raised from the dead. So in the mount it was seen, the blessedness of substitution, of one placed in the sinner, of that which was placed in the sinner's place. And we sing at times that hymn which seems to so beautifully put this thing into words. Heaven's brightest glory, sunk in shame, the rebels might adore his name. Behold the matchless scene of grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Yes, there we may see the one who is truly God and yet truly man, the God-man mystery. But if therefore you can echo with the apostle or the disciple as he was perhaps seen as then, and say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, then shall he not be precious? More precious than those that looked upon him as a mere man. More precious to Peter he was than a one that might condemn him and he without hope. But here was his hope. His hope was found in Jesus alone. Well, unto you therefore which believe, it's a great favour to believe. To believe in the one who is sent of the Father. The one who does all his Father's good pleasure. To believe him who came forth from the wilderness to John to be baptized of him. What did John feel? His own unworthiness. But what did he think of this one? He was not worthy, John was not worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoe. And yet, here was one who was to be baptized with a baptism. Such a baptism which would bring the hope and confidence of the friend of the bridegroom. The one who then would, according to the word, take this one, this holy one, and baptize him. There's a great mystery and yet a very blessed truth that surrounds the baptism of our Lord and Saviour. Remember that the promises that have been spoken and that which was foreshadowed in types, that which was set before the children of Israel was now to be fulfilled. It was the occasion when it could be said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And what was the righteousness that he could accomplish? All the offerings that had been offered on Jewish altars were not sufficient to work righteousness in the hearts of the people. All that they may do at the temple bar, as it were, could never appease Almighty wrath. But now, when we hear the testimony of John, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, there we see one who is able to bring his church, his people, from the state of things being a mere promise. We don't despise the promise, dear friends. No, the promise must be first but he brings us into gospel blessings. And now those gospel blessings may be known. There will be one that would come to him with an alabaster box of ointment and break it and pour the ointment upon his head and shed those tears to wash his feet and wipe them with the hairs of her head. And what was it? What could be said of her? She loved him. Why? She was a great sinner. But she had known the great love of Christ to such a sinner. He had redeemed her. He had brought her forth out of her wretched condition and state with a hope of that which she would have. Believe in what would be accomplished, that through him she would know the forgiveness of sins. And so she was forgiven. And how could he forgive? Because he had come to do what his Father had given him to do, to lay down his life for his sheep. Here was one of the lambs. And therefore, unto you, therefore, unto you, poor dear woman, is this one in whom you believe precious. He was precious to a dying thief. He was precious to a doubting Thomas. He was precious to a denying Peter. Yes, he was precious. We spoke of Peter this morning. We will not go over that. But what of Thomas, who would not believe? Would not believe in the resurrection of the Lord until he had seen him. Thomas was certain that if he saw his Lord, he would have no doubt. But now, just to have it by hearsay, though a host may tell him that he was risen, he wanted the evidence. How gracious our Lord was to Thomas in dealing with him. He appeared, Thomas being with them, there in the upper room. And he would have Thomas to put forth his finger and put it in the very marks of the nails and thrust his hand into his side with these words, and be no more faithless, but believing. Dear friends, do you feel that such condescension would be too wonderful to come to you because of your own wretchedness and vileness? Do you feel that because of your felt lack of faith, that you could not receive it? But now, let us consider the gracious manner of our Lord when he said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. I believe that he is precious because he is able. He's able to do far more exceeding abundantly above what I can ask or even think. But have you asked? If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till heaven and earth shall pass away. We find that grace, the grace of mercy shines through this glorious man, this glorious Redeemer. And so, if he should look upon you, but a single look, will he not be precious? Well, now, as we may proceed with this subject, I want to consider the glorious person as he is seen in the varying offices which he would take in his condescension and also in his exhortation. First of all, we have such an high priest became us. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Do you believe your need of a high priest? It will be of no use going to the priests of earth. They have passed. Once this glorious high priest was made manifest, then all that Levitical law and the varying persons that would have conducted those sacrifices, they ceased. It was an evidence that it would cease because Aaron would have soon come to his death and then be succeeded by his sons, and they succeeded by their sons, and so on, down through the great line. But we have an high priest that abideth forever. Is that precious to you, that you have such an high priest that can never die? And yet, he did die. He died in this way. He laid down his life. All other priests, their life is taken. Taken as it is according to man that he must die once. It is unto us to die once. And dying that once, we shall then, as far as the body is concerned, know nothing until that resurrection. It's appointed unto men to die, and after that, the judgment. But now, consider the one who laid down his life. He had authority and power to do so, and he had authority and power to take that life again. No priest under the Aaronic priesthood had any power to take their life again, to take life up again. No, only this glorious high priest of our profession. Well then, you'll find there's a preciousness in this. He that liveth forever. And then, we may consider the offering that he offered. It was himself. We read in the Epistle to the Romans these words that some would even dare to die but what could they do? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus crucified for me. He bore the sins. He was made to be sin. And he bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. He would therefore be one lifted up, a spectacle, supposedly of ignominy and shame. And yet he was the glorious Son of God. But there we may see the just dying for the unjust. And you, an unjust sinner, now has hope through the merits of our Lord and Saviour. What merits? The merits that satisfied his Father, the merits that satisfied holy justice, the merits that will be commended unto those that need it, that to plead. For we plead his name, his merits, his blood. Oh, we have nothing else to plead. When you come to plead therefore these things, when you come to the conclusion of your petitions, and you ask it for Jesus Christ's sake, is then Christ precious? Precious in the knowledge that as a faithful high priest he will answer your petition? But as a faithful high priest he presents that petition before or unto his Father. And if he presents your petitions unto him, then it's his merits, his satisfying work and grace that will bring the Father to look upon the coming sinner with all acceptance. What a blessed word it is of Christ when he said, come unto me, all ye that labour under sin, labour under the sense that you have no power or strength in self to do one good thing. But come unto me, all ye that labour, I will answer for you. I will present your cry unto the one who would freely, willingly receive you. Because I have done all to present you. Present you faultless before the Father, so washed and cleansed in that precious atoning blood which I have shed it for the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need. So welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. Well, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. All is precious then, in all his intercessions, and is precious because you may come and approach fearless. Fearless. No slavish fear. Oh, there is a fear. That is a filial fear. And you will fear in the sense that you must honour him. You will not be like the wayward child that has no fear of its father and therefore will go contrary to its father's commands. Some may say that once we're saved by the precious blood of Christ, well, then you're free to do as you like. You're not free to do as you like. For we are either servants of sin unto sin, or servants of righteousness unto holiness. Whose servants are we? Whom do we love? If we love ourselves, then we are enemies to God. If we love him, oh, we shall want to serve him. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And now, as you see then, this one who had no place to lay his head. Yeah, he who was despised, rejected of men. Yet because he has condescended to come where you are, oh, then is he precious. For now, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is precious as that shepherd of the sheep. How he watches over, how he cares, how he goes forth to search you out in a dark and a cloudy day, how he will give up until he has discovered his wayward one. The times that you may be guilty of backsliding. How did the Lord speak unto his backsliding Israel, his backsliding Ephraim? Such words are a wonder when we consider that Israel had acted in such ways. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. So she had. Enough to sink her into a lost eternity. But what does the Lord say? But in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. But the words that I really had on my mind were these. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Is there a backslider here? Can you come in with this? Well now, here is the instruction. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, that words of confession, words of contrition of spirit, those words which will bring or manifest a broken and a contrite spirit. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the cause of our lips. Blessed teaching, oh, will you receive it? Will I receive it? Well, it's only as the Lord gives us grace. It's only as he humbles us under a sense of our unworthiness. We have to admit that there is no power that can save us. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. What confidence, though, had been put upon the horses. We will ride upon horses, is in one of the chapters of Isaiah. Yes, we will do these things. But now, we will not ride upon horses. We will say, not anymore to the works of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And now the reply, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He's precious in his words. He's precious as one that pastors the flock and gathers the lost sheep, bringing them home upon his shoulder. You know, with these varying offices that Christ bore, we must remember that he bore all those offices, and therefore there is a flowing together of what he is in each of those offices. When we consider the sheep, the wayward one being lifted up and put upon the shoulders, you may recollect that the high priest wore an ephod, and there was the shoulders of the ephod upon which there were the plates and the names of the tribes of the children of Israel were written. It showed that the government of Israel rested upon the priesthood. And the government rests upon the shoulders of our good shepherd, who is priest also. How precious then that he should carry you upon his shoulders, and all your concerns, and bear you along. Then we may consider him as the king, as it's been mentioned in the passage we read, my king, a blessed subject of the kingdom. We spoke about the kingdom of God. Oh, to be one, therefore, of that kingdom. And when we are a subject of the kingdom, so we have the privileges of it and the blessings that may come through the king, who orders all things. What has he ordered? What has he ordained? What is his one thing? That our Lord and Saviour, King of Kings, in pleading with his Father, said this, that they should be his, and they should be mine. Those that thou hast given me, those that he would bring, those that he would present with authority, it would all be because he has the authority of a king with all those children of the kingdom, and not one of them will be left out. A subject brought before the monarch will find and feel it to be a privilege. Indeed, I can remember some neighbours that were to be presented to the Queen, or rather to go to the garden party, and how they responded to it. And all that was requested, so they did, and went, therefore were received. You know, it's a great privilege to come before the monarch, naturally. Because, why should it be that those of the street should have anything to do with the palace? But the scripture goes further. It speaks, and Hannah knew it, the beggar on the dunghill, put amongst princes. Oh, how precious when he raises you up from the dunghill of your wretchedness and filth and sin, and put you among the children, among the princes. Then he is indeed your king. But we may consider this. There is the Father, but Christ himself is a father to his children, to his people. Therefore, as a father, he will deal with us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And how precious is his pity, when he can succour us with those words, and can call you my child. Well, unto you therefore which believe. It's a precious thing when we can have that good hope through the mercy of God that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and joint heirs with Christ. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Ah, and how precious he is, as a brother. The account, you may have heard of it, which took place in the days of the great ejection, when those that went to the places, particularly the dissenters, worshipped amongst the dissenters as they came to be called, they may have gone in much fear, not knowing whether they would be apprehended by the soldiers that would guard the streets. And there was one dear woman who was making her way to the meeting house. And the soldiers saw her and stopped her and asked her where she was going. And she said, "I am going to hear my elder brother's will read. And I want to know if there's anything in it for me." She was referring, of course, to hearing something of her own Lord and Master, if she should be called even by name. Well, you see, she knew the preciousness of Christ. And so she knew that from him she would receive a good dowry. Oh, it would be a dowry that was complete and full. It would be that which would be forever, eternal in its nature. She would receive from him a bounty that was exceedingly precious. She would know that all the tokens were for good, and she would know that he who bequeathed such undying love was her faithful Redeemer. Well then, this is what made him precious to her, and she would go, whatever dangers there were, Christ was precious. You know, dear friends, it may search you, it may search me as well. There are some that seem very ready to keep at home and not attend upon the means that has been so graciously provided. We are exhorted not to the word goes from me, not to descend or not to that we should be gathered together as the manner is. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And yet sometimes we may readily give up because of some small matter. But if we were really to prove him precious, would you then stay away? Would you then stay away? There is a blessedness in gathering together. It is to know our glorious head who gathers his members in one. It is to know that sweet union and communion with him and with one another. Oh, that we knew more of it. I believe in days past it was known by some of those godly forefathers. But what can we say? Is Christ precious? Well, may it be made so. May you pray earnestly in the felt want or lack of this this feeling that Christ is precious. May you pray for his visitations, that he may come and make himself sweetly known. And may you know his drawing power, that you may then run after him. Oh, that you may not therefore give up until he is precious. Well, unto you therefore which believe he is precious. To believe that without you cannot do without him. To believe that there is only one way of getting into heaven, and that is through Christ alone. I am the door of the sheepfold. To enter in by him. Ah, is he precious in your entering in? Then is he precious when you feel secure because he is that door? Then no beast of prey can come to you except he should first have to deal with the shepherd who lies across the threshold. And he that has given his life, then there's safety for the sheep. Is he precious to you because through him you are ever preserved, and through him you are secure, through him you will persevere unto the end, through him you will come at last as victorious, more than conquerors. More than conquerors through him who hath loved us. Well, dear friends, there's much here, and yet how feeble the instrument in bringing these things forth. It is best, I believe, for your meditation, that you may consider the one who is precious, and that you may believe that without him you can do nothing, you are nothing, you can be nothing, and yet through him you may be all those things that he raises us up to, that we should be as those who are blessed of him forever. Well, the Lord bless his own word and pardon anything amiss. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £795, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Friday evening and Mr. Ridout next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold their New Year services on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 637. Jesus, thou art our only rest from sin and guilt and fears. We love to lean upon thy breast and on thee cast our cares. Hymn 637.
pardon, dear Lord. Oh, that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in us. Take us in peace and safety to our abodes. Watch between each, the gather here, whilst parted one from the other. And now, Lord, do follow with thy blessing. So hear us in these things for Christ's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.